Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and it's good to be with you again this morning. Well, last week we listened to Dr. Greg Brennan's presentation on unwavering liberty, and it was quite informative. Greg is a constitutional scholar, and it's always a pleasure to be able to listen to him and his knowledge of the Constitution. Well, this week we're going to follow up with the Q&A session that followed that presentation last week. So Dr. Brennan was asked a number of questions. He was asked about, Common Core and public education and homeschooling and the Convention of States versus nullification and a lot of other relevant topics for today's political environment. So let's get right into listening to Dr. Greg Brennan's Q&A session.
Look, I know your family homeschools your youngest, as does mine. We use the same classical model. I'm thrilled with it. In fact, I'm so thrilled with it, sometimes I don't have the desire to fight Common Core, because sometimes it's just I've exercised my liberty and opted out of what government wants to do to my children. And so in some ways, I just need help like reorienting my mind around how serious a problem it is when part of me wants it to fail so miserably that the whole model of government education falls apart.
I agree with you. My wife at homeschool, my wife's a public school teacher. I'm public school trained except for 2 years. My third and fourth grade, I went to a Catholic school where I learned to read and write and really pushed the fundamentals. But again, that's why schooling and education to me are so different. I just told you, 1917, read the endowment from Carnegie. It was planned with Common Core. Why do we need standards? Who's the God over these standards? Woodrow Wilson wrote a paper, gave a speech on America needs two type of education models. One classical that John is doing, that we're doing at home, that teaches them on a biblical base and take that prism of a biblical worldview through Islam, through Hinduism, through history, through mathematics, through all that. They want a classical model for the elite who will be the leaders, and then a K through 12 model that will have the producers trained to be doctors and engineers and bakers and whatever. That's Plato's Republic. That's not America. Horace Mann, 1840, the same year that our complex literacy rate was 93 to 100%, went to Prussia. Prussia was the first modern country in 1819 that had Social Security, pension plans, education, health care given by the state. Because they knew if you take it from the state, you become a serf to the state. He saw the military aspect of Prussia and saw that the K through 12 model made little good soldiers in bakery, engineering, doc, whatever they wanted to do for the greater good of the society. He never stepped his foot once in a classroom. Brought it over here. Over time, you got the Deweys, you got the Skinners, you got the Thornlikes. What do they all have in common? Atheists, humanists, animal behaviorists. Since we're just animals and human resources, let's plug those models in. Bastiat in 1850, his answer to Marx's book in 1848, it's called The Law. I beg you to read it. He goes about all these social engineers, all these witch doctors, they take God's precious gift, us, manipulate it, put a foot here, ruin it there, make them cripple over here. And every time it ruins a certain generation, he throws it to the side. Because you know what? We'll do it again. And in his last paragraph's the greatest. It says, these social engineers should be in the heap of trash heap of history. We should go back to where we never should have left. What is that? Liberty. What is liberty? A belief in God and his works. That's the fight.
Well,
So back to your question, John, about this. I love education so much, I want the government out of it. And our Constitution in North Carolina, very important, says every person deserves the privilege of an education, not schooling, and does not say it must do the education. Article 9 of the Constitution, which was written in 1971, put the progressive model on top of it. Side note, there's no education in the United States Constitution. Tell Burr and tell us that now. That's Al.
Hey, Dr. Brandon, scratching my mind and exactly how to express this, but there seems to me, and I'd just like your opinion on it, there's a lot of coordination, I guess you'd say, between community colleges and industry businesses, where they're training people for specific jobs like a mechanic, automotive mechanic, or whatever. And then you have STEM classes where they're trying to train people to become engineers or scientists of some kind. And it seems to that it's a lot of education today seems to be aimed at creating a job for somebody when they graduate. Do you feel that that is an appropriate thing for colleges and the businesses and government to be involved in together or not?
No. Now, here's why. The word human resources, that phrase, was not even in our vernacular until the 1920s. Your kids, my kids, are not human resources of the state to be used. We don't have to worry, have a good educated. See, when we start using the word we and this collective mentality, see, they don't understand progressives. They don't understand. Progressives think that we're stupid. But a collective society is at its best when the individual is free to freely associate. So, we built, discovered, okay, who decided that this black goo out of Titusville, Pennsylvania is worth anything? Well, people did. Got to make kerosene. And what did kerosene do? It eliminated the killing of whales. Oh, and then all these wasted products that were thrown away, a guy named Rockefeller thought better. We could use these things. It was about $40 a barrel he started. About 15 years later, it was down to about, I think, about 9 cents. See, Henry Ford invented this stuff. Now, I'm not talking about the Ford Foundation today or the Rockefeller Foundation. Those kids ruined everything. But the thinkers, everybody probably knows the famous farewell address of Eisenhower. He warned about the military-industrial complex. Here's the five-star general, one of our greatest heroes, who's warning about the military. But before that, he warns about education, the university system, and farming, big pharma, because whoever gets the funding will dictate what we look at the research at. You're not greed. What if some guy can invent a fusion plant that takes water and makes it? We don't know because it's not there. The free market dictates this. The government regulates us to death. The government is actually pure cronyism that they pick. Well, Tom, when he was Speaker of the House, he wrote the Obamacare healthcare exchanges into the state law. It was the state Senate that stopped it. And what happened with that? You have one major monopoly player now, Blue Cross Blue Shield. See, when you get the arm, force, and heaviness of any government organization, be it local, state, or federal, picking you as the winner in your field, you just eliminate your competition. Historically, a guy named FDR, ever heard of that great lover of liberty? There were about 159 tire companies. And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. How do we know these tires are going to be safe for the stupid people buying these tires? We got to have federal regulations to protect the stupid people on what tires to buy. So we got two guys in a room and said, why don't you guys make the regulations? Oh, Goodyear and Firestone. Same thing's happened with healthcare. February 27th, 2013, when I announced I was running for Senate, in Greensboro, I was asked a question by Bill Flynn, who eventually decided to run. Who did I vote for president in 2012? Nobody needs to know. I don't lie. I don't care what they say about me. I don't lie. I said, I wrote in Ron Paul's name. Yeah, well, okay. And it's not because Ron, it's because he's a Constitution, but I was not going to waver. And in May of 12, I wrote an article saying voting for a rhino, I'll go in a minute, is still voting for tyranny. So why, Greg, did you do that? You look at Obama, look what you've given us. Well, first off, North Carolina won the Republicans, right? So they're irrelevant in our state. It's all electoral process, but never mind. I said there's two reasons I did not. To 2011, Romney was pro-abortion. Suddenly he wasn't. And I said the same man, Gruber, who wrote Romney Care, wrote Obamacare. I'm never going to vote for progressive again. I'm waiting for my apology from Tillis, from Harris, from all of them. Because they all thought there were good parts to Obamacare. And I said, how could there be a good part to a non-constitutional function? So back to our things. The reason I'm involved in Common Core and fighting for it is because it's Race to the Top, Goals 2000. Keep going back. We got to fight the collective beast at every little avenue. But I don't want to fight the beast in the minutia part. I want to fight it at our state house, our state senate, our local areas. Because if tomorrow the free market occurred for education, the free market occurred tomorrow for education, and the teachers were free to teach with the parents, and the parents had what they want to do, and the market occurred, the vocation of educators would be the highest paid vocation in our country.
Okay, we're going to take a short break right here so we can hear from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and conclude the Q&A session with Dr. Greg Brannon. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, where we're going to conclude the Q&A session that was held with Dr. Greg Brannon. And to start off with, I'm going to ask him about the difference between convention of states and nullification.
Dr. Brannon, everybody asks the same question, how do we fix it? And right now there's a really hot debate between constitutional convention or nullification. What is your opinion on those?
Okay. First off is, there's 319 million Americans, about 240 million voters. In our primary, 15% voted. In the general, I think it was around 40. And I don't mind those who are opting out. When your position is a progressive with a D or progressive with an R, why in this state can we put anybody who wants to run for any office on the ballot by name in November? Because the powers to be in the D's and the R's don't want competition. See, once we start winning elections, and if you realize the idea of federalism, you're on top. You as the individual are on top. You acting on your liberty formed a community around you to help you live a life better and share. That community, we'll call it a county. Decided to have a community a little bit bigger called the state to do certain functions called police functions. Water, roads, and roads are not federal, they are state. Now, to make a more perfect union, the original 13, and we first said no, I'll go over that in a little bit if you want to, we said no, we want to say the country of North Carolina, because all the countries over here, the 13, were around 150 years before the United States of America. To make these 13 work better, they said, you know what we could do? Why don't we join a union, give... Now, Diana Rufino's here, who's a constitutional lawyer, but this is a legal term. These are parties to a contract. These 13 are forming a contract, Constitution. So whoever works for the Constitution is the agent of the Constitution. The example Hamilton used and Iredell used was like a trustee to a will. My wife, Jerry, and I have 7 kids. We have an insurance policy. We're in a car accident. We go to heaven. My accountant, Frank, is my trustee. He works for us. We give him enumerated functions to take that money to take care of my kids. He may think he has a better idea of what he wants to do. If he does that, he goes to jail. That's what Hamilton said in the 38th paper. So the state, the federal government's down here, except for Article 1, Section 8. That is the group of laws that the states, being the bosses, said, hey, general government, you do these. And in Article 1, Section 8, there are two groups. One is the best military the world's ever seen for defensive wars of America purposes. And the other one is to make a free trade zone for America. The word regulate meant to make regular, not to hinder. So if something came into the port of Wilmington, North Carolina would not put a tax on it before it went to South Carolina. That's all they have. And they divide that even further, that the legislative branch, which all law comes from the legislative branch, has 33 functions. The president has 13 and only one by himself, which is to greet ambassadors. And the Supreme Court has 6. And none of it is to make law. So this last week, with McConnell and Boehner and Burr and Tillis and all those rhinos that are run on the Constitution, they all gave this president, who is a dictator, to dictate amnesty, health care. The Cromy, Renee Elmer's got a big ad thanking her for her amnesty vote. So the answer, Rick, is you run. The structure is beautiful. It was on Mr. Beck's show. We had this conversation. I go, sir, it's not the structure. I don't want a convention. I'll go over why not a convention in a second. I want the structure. We just need the right men and women of ethics to be servants and understand the position that you're the most important person in your life to protect you from the federal government overreach is your local sheriff. So Madison said in his 51st paper and Hamilton in the 38th paper. Because why would the country of North Carolina give away, it's even redundant, sovereignty? Because by definition, a state or an individual is sovereign in the thing of itself. And the state is only sovereign because the individuals there are allowing it to be so. That's why. And one example I want to use is abortion. I got to do this. This one gets me. Every 4 years, we're told you must vote for any Republican president to get 5 people on a Supreme Court to change their mind and get rid of abortion. So our founders pledged it all to change one man in a white robe, by the way, he was anti-slavery, for 9 in a black robe, help 5 on your side. Is that what we did? No. The Supreme Court had no building until the 1930s. So let's go historically. How do we get abortion? The vote was 7-2 for abortion. Those dang Democrats. Now, I'm not hammering Democrats because they're easy. They're progressive, statist, socialists, so that they're easy. It's the ones who run as constitutionalists I'm getting on their rear end for. Wizard White, who was a Democrat appointed by Kennedy, said, there's no standing. We shouldn't even hear this case. We shouldn't even hear this case. So 7 people looked in that thing called Preambles of the 9th Amendment, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, everything Diane could tell you about back there. And they applied that we don't know when life begins. And you only get a human is a human, but the person is different. So the vote was 7-2. 7 of those people that gave us abortion, 5 were Republicans. How many people in the Supreme Court constitutionally are they supposed to be? You're right. So if you're a big pro-life president, appoint 100 pro-life and then vote. But that's not the answer to fix this. Here's how you fix it. It's constitutionally. First off, is the Constitution is only constitutional if the laws under them are based in God's natural law. They can make a law tomorrow. Everybody named Ron must have his right arm cut off. And the Congress passes it, President signs it, Supreme Court validates it. What about Ron? See, Ron's superior to the federal government. Ron says, no. The state are duty bound to get in front of Ron and say, not in our time. So abortion is simple. It goes back to the Convention of States. Article 5, when you read it, please read it. Congress makes the rules to the convention. You cannot limit it. Love Mark Levin. I've been on his show. He endorsed me for senator. He and I are on the same path fighting. What are we going to do for this overreach government? Now, Article 5 Convention is a long-term plan, but a short-term plan is nullification. This is where I think history is so important. If I had the honor of being one of your doctors, and I'm in your pelvis, and your hypogastric, which is the biggest one down there, is just pumping. And I might say it's on the left side, but I'm taking out a simple little thing on your right side. Am I going to let that pumper go and just go fix this right side because that's easier? No, I'm going to go back to my constitutional foundational principles, and the first thing you do is put your finger on the pumper while the nurse gets me the right tools to isolate the ureter, so I protect the ureter, isolate certain vessels, clamp those two off. If I clamp too high, then I lose the branch that goes to the butt. You don't want to lose the butt muscles. And all this kind of things you got to think about. You go back to your principles.
Okay, once again, we need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Let's pick up where we left off in our Q&A session with Dr. Greg Brandt.
Article 6, Clause 2 says, the Constitution, supreme law of the land, and pursuant thereof. So if something is supreme law of the land, don't you want to know what pursuant means? Mr. Bloodworth asked him three times, and he said, if Congress should ever pass a law that usurps their power and assume power that's not there, it is null and void in the states. So what we need is the Ninth Amendment protects all your inalienable rights, which you can't number, the enumerated, and the Tenth protects the people of the state. So nullification is tomorrow. There's no education. There's no health care. There's no toll roads. There's no. But we need the governor, the attorney general, our legislators to simply say no. And my fear with the Convention of States is who'd be in that room. Again, read the 1776 North Carolina Constitution and read the 1971 North Carolina Constitution. Now picture 40 years later in that room making the decisions of what's there. First Amendment's up for right. Mr. Burr voted for cloture on the First Amendment. They go to the floor. They actually want to have First Amendment rights just for the journalists. You got this week, the president wants to get rid of green tip bullets. He should be impeached like Walter Jones has asked for years. No silly lawsuit cases to go to a court that has no standing and irrelevant. So what do? I think we do this a gazillion places across the state, across this country. We go to our friends who aren't getting motivated because they know there is no difference. And you know what? They're right. There is no difference. If you vote for a rhino or a progressive in anything, you are the problem.
Okay, we're going to have to stop here because unfortunately we're out of time. So let me ask you to please go to cctaxpayers.com, our website, and check out all the current information on our next meeting and who's going to be speaking. And please join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.